Howdy, everybody. Welcome to Day Tripper Podcast number 3, where we'll be talking about road food. Oh, yeah, the good stuff. So we're here in Magic Room Studios, and joining me, I'm Chet Garner, the host, but my co-host here to my left is Mr. Richie Lozano.
That's me. Hello.
Mr. Todd White.
That would be me.
And then for a lady's touch to this discussion, we have none other than the great audio bear, Kelly Baldwin,
joining us.
That's right.
Oh, hi.
Oh, wow, Kelly, you sound very different.
Wow, now we have to behave ourselves. No, there's a female in the house.
This is going to be a lot of fun, guys, so let's go. All right, so this podcast is sponsored by the Highland Lakes of Burnett County. From Lake Buchanan all the way down to Lake Travis, the Highland Lakes is your spot to get a lakefront cabin, a vacation home for adventure, wine, family memories, whatever it is you're looking for, romantic getaway, family getaway, corporate getaway. Go to thehighlandlakes.org for more information and to book your stay today. There's that splash I was waiting on right there.
Yeah, well, technical difficulties. I was stuck on roadkill, and my mind just went off, and I just, yeah.
Prior, all your roadkill sound effects that you've got?
Yeah. I want to hear some of those.
Splat!
Oh, man. I really want to talk about roadkill. Maybe that's another discussion for a different day. But anyway, I'm super pumped to have Kelly in the studio with us.
Yeah.
Kelly, welcome.
This is my first time. I'm excited. First time ever in podcast territory, and it's right here with Day Tripper. So,
hey, we're pumped to have you. You sound very soothing on the mic.
I've been practicing.
it's too much of that SNL NPR stuff.
It does. It sounds like
hi, yeah.
Delicious dish.
Welcome. That sounds amazing, Bob.
I can spice it up if you're needing something more.
No. We like you just the way you are, Kelly. So, hey, we all got to do in our episode 1, we sort of talked about how we got here. So tell the listeners a little bit about how you got involved with the Day Tripper before we get started.
Oh, man. I was at ACC when Nate was running camera, returning equipment for, after a project I had done for school, making small talk, and he had asked if I was working on any other projects aside from school projects, and I said no. And he mentioned that he had this friend from film class, we know, trying to start this Texas travel show.
Called him a jerk from the beginning, didn't
he?
Nate said, I've got this jerk friend.
He drew a picture of him, and yeah, it was terrible.
I'd like to get that picture.
It looked like Mr. Potato Head is what it looked like, I think.
So he asked if I would be willing to help out, and I said, sure. Well, 6 months go by, I don't hear anything, and I figured, maybe that's the business. And then all of a sudden, I get this email from him asking if I'm still interested. I respond and say, yeah, of course. And he goes, okay, great, because we start filming next week.
In the great Day Tripper tradition.
Yeah, last minute.
Of pre-production.
Yeah, that's right. We got 1 week. We're going to make a whole season of this thing. Let's go. That first season was a blitz. Like, we didn't know what we were doing. So we were out on the road for, two weeks straight? Like,
we
very little downtime?
We didn't know no better.
That's right.
We didn't know no better.
So true. Well, then you came on board as an intern, and then you started doing sort of some camera assistant, and now audio. And you know, you're a staple. It's weird to go out on a shoot without you, Kelly. It's happened from time to time because you got such an exciting life, but
those
we don't like
I've,
to leave
I've,
you behind.
Well, I've just been at home in my closet crying in those days.
The closet of the hotel in Europe. Or in California.
That was two shoots.
It was two summers.
Was that one of those I'm sick situations?
No, I did. No, that was a different day.
Right. Season one.
I got heat exhaustion and was in bed sick. I felt so bad because I was still an intern and I was like, oh man, it's my third day on the job and I've got to call Chet and tell him I can't make it in because I'm sick at home.
It was Burnett. We did one day Burnett without you.
Man, we were shooting that in the middle of July. It was a burner. Any person could get heat exhaustion out there.
Also, it's dairy crazy. Was a bad choice at the end of the day.
Milk was a bad decision.
You got that whole milk in the middle of the afternoon and started drinking it. I was like, Kelly, are you sure?
I thought it would help,
like, oh, yeah.
It didn't.
I always mountain climb and drink whole milk.
Well, speaking of things that we pick up on the road while we're out there, let's go ahead and transition into this discussion. Y'all like that, the way I did that there? Third one. We're learning how to do this. So we're talking about road food today. And if the Day Tripper and this crew knows anything about anything, it's definitely road food. So, we've been there. We've eaten it all. We've learned how to master the road trip. And so we're just going to be talking about all kinds of things, both that you bring on the road, that you eat on the road, and that we've had the privilege of eating along the way. So first off, you know, when you're getting ready for a day trip, a lot of people like to grab a backpack, a cooler or something, and grab their road supplies. Like before they even hit the road, they got the little caddy of stuff, you know, set there just because they know what's coming. So what do you guys bring along the road with you?
Well, I've been known to bring a big 3-pound bag of gummy bears. I know that Kelly loves those.
Todd White has become my lord and savior with a 3-pound bag of gummy bears.
No. All it takes is a 3-pound bag to win over Kelly.
Well,
to
I
get
mean,
her
like,
soul, really.
It gets to be that like the hot part of the really hot part of the afternoon, and you kind of you start to hit that lull and you really just feel like you need a nap. Nope. Sugar rush. That's when you need your sugar. So you get your little paws on that 3-pound bag of gummy bears and
get your little
paws. I remember the
yeah.
first time I
paws.
Actually was gonna bring that bag, and I texted Kelly from Target, and I was like, should I bring this? And it was like the fastest response ever from her. It's like, yes.
The only downside to a 3-pound bag of gummy bears in Texas heat is you got a 3-pound gummy bear singular.
Tricky.
It'll melt
oh, but
into one.
They're so good when they're melted together. It's
oh, man.
Awesome.
Not when it's the 3-pound one. I mean, you need a fork and a knife to eat that thing. And because sometimes it's been left under the seat in the car, and a couple weeks later I'll be cleaning stuff out. Mm-hmm. I find that
the
bag.
Giant.
And it literally looks like one giant rainbow-colored blob. It's not a bear anymore. It's beyond recognition as a bear.
And I'll just mention that, did you feed that to your kids at that point? Because I guarantee, like Twinkies, those will survive the apocalypse.
No, truthfully, I just huddled behind my car so my kids wouldn't see me and eating it. And just, like, devoured it.
Tearing it apart.
Yeah.
You want these gummy bears? They've been in my pocket all day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So gummy bears, essential road food, absolutely. What about you guys?
We always do because we always get and we're going to start like, you know, okay, we're going to road trip. We stop to get gas and then, you know, it's the typical stuff in the gas station. So it turns into like peanut M&Ms and Gatorade, Cool Blue Gatorade.
Kelly's
moved on to
the white glacier cherry.
Strawberry, cherry.
Man, you guys, to me, a Gatorade, is as long as it's cold, I will drink it. But you guys have very refined taste in the Gatorade
world.
It
tastes a lot, yeah.
Y'all really do.
Lemon lime never quite has the punch I want.
Orange doesn't cut it. Lemon lime.
You walk out with citrus cooler, you're going to get punched in the face by Kelly Baldwin.
Yeah, I'll throw it on the ground. I'll make you dump it out.
Right in front of me.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then Richie, you've been we often stop, you know, in the middle of the afternoon, and it's like that time Kelly was talking about when your blood sugars drop 3 p.m. We just need that pick me up, and so we crash the convenience store. Richie, you've been going with combos a lot lately, man, which I hadn't had since I was a kid, and those things are good.
I ate combos pepperoni. In the car on the way over here today.
Pepperoni pizza combos. They're definitely a throwback. I mean, like if I was going way back, I'd get some Big League Chew with it as well.
Absolutely.
You know, going to baseball practice. But no, yeah, combos. Combos is where it's at. You know,
you get to suck the little pepperoni pizza dust out of the middle, whatever it is, like the pizza paste.
Oh,
it's just
yeah.
not natural.
No, that
man.
Pizza paste is the same as like the stuff in the middle of the Oreos. That's what makes it sing. That's what makes it so great. Cheddar, no, it's the pepperoni pizza. Now they got crazy flavors, but they used to have like 3 flavors. That's it. Yeah.
The combo world has become so sophisticated now.
Mm, you know,
the
so
foie gras combos. you know.
So we don't do it, but growing up, my dad used to take RC Cola and pour the corn nuts on the top of that.
Oh, my dad did that too. That was so weird.
Gross.
It was so weird, but it was something about it's a salty and sweet going together.
It is, but it smells nasty.
Dude, I know. You know what smells even nastier? After you've been eating corn nuts all day in the car at the end of the day. I remember that from youth trips. The kids would pound corn nuts all morning. By the end of that day, dude, there'd been some nasty stuff let go. Those corn nuts are awful. Yeah, you want out. You want out of that church, man, real fast.
Windows down right
now. No, yeah. Oh, it's bad. It's bad.
So despite all the unhealthy stuff, we have recently been carrying some boxes of Oat Mega bars with us that are fantastic as
well. Dude, and those have been key. Those have been key because they're just, you know, they're just enough to fill your stomach up. They got good protein, and they're actually good stuff. And they're made in Austin. So always support the local Texas folk. Absolutely. You know, that's the road food you pack along the way, but then you're going to make a plan for a stop. And like we said, we stop, we crash some convenience stores. But the quintessential stop for me, man, if I am driving from Austin to Dallas, like a stinking tractor beam. I cannot drive past check stop without stopping.
In West?
Mm-hmm. Oh,
West.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. It is just, it pulls you in like a siren of the sea. And I don't care. I could have just eaten in Waco, like stuffed my face 15 miles up the road. I'm hungry again for a hot chubby and a pecan kolache, if you know what I'm saying. The hot chubby. What is that?
I love you to pieces, Chet. Love you to pieces.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, that's what they call their, if for those that don't know, that's what they call their sausage kolache with the full sausage in the middle, stuffed with cheese. I mean, kolaches in Texas, quintessential road food, guys. Absolutely.
So you go a sweet and a salty?
Oh, you have always? To. You have to. You have to. I respect that.
You're always going up, see, like, I never go up the Dallas way. My trips are always back to Houston, mm-hmm. back to home to see my parents and stuff like that and family. So going the other way, like we go to Austin, you say going to Dallas, you stop in West.
Absolutely.
From Austin to Houston, on 71, you got to stop in Ellinger, which we did on the show.
Oh, yeah, man. Arushka's.
Arushka's. And that's where you get some great fruit kolaches, Clovis Nikki's, the like pigs in a blanket and stuff like that.
Absolutely.
That's where we go too. Yeah.
Is it key? I mean, I have to eat kolaches on the road and they work so well. I mean, it's like a little donut roll type
Danish
of thing with
kind
fruit.
Of thing. Yeah.
And it's clean, man. It's self-contained, especially the Clovis Nikki's in the little bread package. You don't, no mess, man. No mess. It's good. Yep. It's gone in no time.
Jalapeno and sausage, sausage, cheese and jalapeno.
Absolutely.
Sausage.
Absolutely.
Just cheese. I don't know. You can get all the different crazy flavors.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then there's that other place, Richie, that we go – when we go through Ellinger and I have yet to eat
Peter's,
there.
Peter's. I always get a chopped Peter. You never do.
Yeah, you always do.
Peter's is great. It's like it's $1.50 chopped beef sandwich. You can't beat that. And like a big red in a glass bottle, perfect.
Man, dude, $1.50 chopped beef sandwich could go either way. It could be extremely delicious.
It could be awful.
It could be awful and scary.
There's a reason they put big signs on the way. You know, 10 miles out on either side of Ellinger.
That's right.
But you like all subs.
Dude, I love all subs. I don't know where the all subs pick up. I think it happens somewhere like west of the Hill Country. It takes over the Panhandle. And for those
of you in Central Texas
who don't know about all subs, it is the mecca of gas station fried deliciousness.
Now, are the gas stations called all subs or just the burritos in the gas station?
No. So the gas stations are branded all subs, but everybody knows the all subs burritos.
Okay.
And they're just labeled all subs bean and cheese burritos. And actually, the namesake burrito is like beans and meat.
they don't say
what's in the burrito, but who cares, man? It is awesome.
Meat.
It is awesome. I grew up eating those things because I was born in Comanche, and I remember road trips, man. Allsup's burrito. That's what you did.
And I never had one, but whenever we were driving back from Abilene from shooting the diving segment.
That's right.
And that was my first introduction.
I made you stop and get one.
Yes, you did.
And I made you stop and get one too, Richie.
No.
And some of the rest of the crew.
I didn't need it. I never had one still.
You notice how Chet says that? He made us stop.
That's right.
It was non-negotiable.
Mm-hmm. Well, there are certain regional delicacies all over the state of Texas. And if you didn't grow up in that part of Texas, you may not know about it.
Bluebell used to only be in certain parts of Texas. Now
that's
it's
true.
Everywhere else. But
that's true.
You used to have to travel. Like people from Corpus would have to come up to Austin to get Bluebell.
That's right. Yeah. They would drive, bring a whole cooler, pick up Bluebell, and go back home.
Then
we just went on a bus trip down to San Antonio, and the people had come from all over the state of Texas, and about half of them had never been into a Buc-ee's.
That was amazing.
Buc-ee's?
That shocked me.
Buc-ee's.
I know.
It's crazy.
Beaver Nuggets.
Beaver Nuggets.
Beaver Nuggets.
Beaver Nuggets.
Done.
Beaver Nuggets.
Beaver Nuggets. Why don't we have a bag of them here to talk about?
They'll ruin your soul.
They're just glorified corn pops, but I don't care, man. They're good.
They've got extra sugar or extra cocaine or something. There's an addictive drug in there.
Inside of the beaver nuggets.
Your hands are all sticky, on the road, on the wheel. You got sticky hands.
Very true.
We've stopped for Shipley's Donuts on the way. That's always a big. We have to.
I remember the first time we drove by a Shipley's, and I didn't grow up in Houston, really, so the Shipleys weren't a big thing to me. But, like, it was Mary and Kelly, first Shipleys we drove by in the morning of a shoot. They about hit the roof, started screaming like little girls for these red glazed donuts.
The cherry glazed donuts.
And this day, I've never seen y'all happier than when y'all were eating those outside of that place.
Oh, man, I grew up eating Shipleys. There was one up near my parents' house on 183 in Austin. And it was one of those old-fashioned ones where you could see through the window and watch them on the little assembly line making the donuts.
Right, yeah.
Oh, man. That was the coolest thing as a kid. Way better. Dunkin' Donuts, no. Krispy Kreme, get out. Shipley's.
Yeah.
Cherry glazed donut. And I know Mary agreed.
Yeah, yeah. And in Houston, too. It was me and my dad Saturday mornings. It was us at Shipley's Donuts. I got a chocolate milk. He got a coffee and a cinnamon twist. And I got, I always change it up. I ate half of his cinnamon twist or an apple fritter. Yeah, and you can watch them.
It's good stuff.
Like, yeah, you know, like the early morning.
I didn't know they ever had it where you could see it through the window.
Oh,
that's like
yeah.
better than Willy Wonka for a little kid, you know? Or it's like Willy Wonka.
Yeah. Oh, you saw them in the automated oil and they would flip and all that kind of stuff. It was cool.
Yeah.
And they glaze them with the big glazer.
And another thing we have to mention, I mean, when we start off on the road, a lot of times the roadie bag we've got, or our first stop is going to be Rudy's Breakfast Tacos.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, man.
Stop and have our morning meeting, eat our breakfast tacos.
Dude, it's on.
The day feels incomplete when we don't do that.
I know, doesn't it kind of? And the pigs in the blanket.
Pigs
you know,
in
you
blanket.
Think you only think breakfast tacos are Rudy's. They got some killer pigs in a blanket there, too.
Mm-hmm.
But see, also, you talk about Rudy, you talk about, like, breakfast tacos. Like, that name changes even in the middle of this state.
Oh, man, that's a whole nother discussion. You're right. There's some line, and it's not marked on maps, but it switches from a breakfast taco to a breakfast burrito. And it's the exact same thing. And you tell people from the panhandle we eat breakfast tacos, they have no idea what you're talking about. And you tell people in Austin, I went and I had an awesome breakfast burrito. They have no idea what you're talking about.
They're going to accuse you from being from California. That's
that's true.
Yeah.
Get out. Out. Get out.
Speaking of breakfast.
Yeah.
But we always
Speaking
do breakfast
of,
on the
Todd.
Road. Well, I mean, we end up at the big places, too. We end up at
Whataburger.
Breakfast on a bun. Every time, that's my go-to.
That's a good thing.
And they've got that new jalapeno cheese biscuit going on there, which is
good stuff.
We
started,
honey butter chicken biscuits.
Oh yeah,
those things are too intense even
Again,
for me.
Dangerous.
If you could only see us on a regular basis before we work out, all this food.
Oh, dude.
Now it's funny you bring up the health aspect, Todd, because Todd's been known to do some funny things with ordering food here and there.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna call you out on this one, Todd. It was a recent shoot. One of the most pathetic things I've ever seen on a plate. We're at this little home-style diner.
It's pathetic how we ordered it. Forget how it came out.
Oh, it was bad from the beginning to end. But Todd orders a veggie omelet with no eggs. And the waitress just looked at him like,
that
what?
Poor girl.
Then the owner came out and was like, who's screwing around with my waitress? Who here wants the omelet without eggs?
There's Todd.
Yeah.
I just want the sauteed vegetables.
That's what it came out. I've got a picture of it, which is going on the blog post for this podcast. It was the most pathetic little pile of sauteed vegetables I've ever seen. And they came out of the kitchen like, okay, you wanted a vegetable omelet without eggs. So, all right, that's wrong, right? We wanted an actual meal? And Todd's like, oh, no.
That's it.
So you just want vegetables then. Yeah.
I was trying to be healthy. I mean, I knew we had a massive day of eating in front of us. So I was trying to be healthy.
And
it was like a small town place. I didn't want to confuse them by asking for sauteed vegetables. I get the same response, I'm sure.
You probably would. But I saw the butter seeping out of those vegetables, and those are not healthy vegetables.
Butter's natural. Butter's natural.
Oh, this is true. This is true.
But eggs are natural, too. So, you know, what are we going
to
do?
Yeah, so, you know, we tend to feature a lot of really great places when we film on the road. But, you know, when we're just having our meeting or we're in between actual places, locations that are being featured on the show.
Crew meals.
We got to have crew meals.
Yeah.
And a lot of those are early in the morning, and that's when we're stopping at the Rudy's. Or
at the hotel.
At the hotel, if we need to.
We're
having big meetings, you know, talking about how we're going to tackle the day, making our strategizing. To coin a word strategizing. I just made that up. About how we're going to be, you know, attacking the rest of the day. And then, you know, if we film we get about, you know, two really restaurants per show. So all the meals in between, we've got to find just real quick grub. And we often find ourselves in these small towns.
Well, it's
the DQ.
Yeah. And we always have two different ways we can go.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if we can have a super heavy meal on camera, You know, because the crew will eat wherever we shoot. We'll shoot Chet eating, and then we'll actually order something and sit down and have our own meal. So if that's really heavy, we'll end up with something really light for the other meal, usually to contrast. Like, oh my God, we had like double barbecue on camera, and I just need something light for dinner. So we end up at like Subway.
Subway comes all the time in the clutch.
And then if we have any time, we'll try to find a local spot, something recommended that's not on the show, but that people are like, oh my God.
Yeah, you have to go and try this place. So, there, you know, we will go to those little local joints. And then oftentimes we need it fast and reliable. Right. And we find ourselves at the DQ or a Whataburger for lunch or a Subway, I mean, all the time.
Yeah, because there's nothing worse when you have to have a good meal. It has to be right now. And you can't take a chance on like
something that you don't know is going to be.
I don't know if Ronnie's. Jan's
Big
cafe
Bertha's.
Is going to be good or not. And we can't
take a chance.
There's not a chance we can go, well, I didn't like mine, so I didn't eat it. It's like, well, you won't eat for another, nine hours until we get to the next meal. So
A lot of it's more time. I mean, we probably know these local places are going to be good because they mostly are. But, you know, it could be Janet, you know, with the pen and the one pad, and she's the only waitress and the only cook, too. It's what y'all want, hon? And she writes it down, and an hour and a half later, you got your food.
Yeah, so we need that fast food sometimes, and we go to the greats to get me a Blizzard and a Hunger Buster.
Yeah, that's right.
Hawaiian Blizzard,
yes.
Yeah. Oh, now, we've been doing pretty good about stopping for Raspus recently. Raspus. Snow cones. Mm-hmm. Those are snow cones. Mm-hmm. If you get in South Texas, they start going
Raspus.
By Raspus.
Or Raspus, and then we
Raspus.
We take it down to Raspus.
Yeah, we do. We turn it into Raspus. Those are great, you know, afternoon pick-me-ups. These are the good meals. I mean, we usually have time to stop and eat, and we get, you know, 30 minutes at the low end, an hour if we're running on schedule. And we actually get to sit and eat. But then there are those times where, man, you got to get the food and go, and you're forced to, you know, cram food down your throat. And we've got to grab food and go.
Which means we can't do it we can't eat in the car.
Yeah.
Because it just, you know, we need a break. We need a break.
Yeah, we do need a break.
Because we've had...
Incidents.
Well, personally, we've had bad road, like literally behind the wheel, like the worst food while you're driving.
That brings a good question.
Yeah.
What is the worst food to eat while you're driving? And I've got a couple of them. One in the comes to the top of my mind, and it is Smitty sausage.
Not because it's not good.
No, it is delicious. But man, you can wring that stuff out and fill up an entire bucket of grease. And one time I was there for a photo shoot at 10 a.m., well before lunch, but I'm not going to go to Smitty's and not get something to eat. And I had to hightail it back to Austin, and so I thought, it's logical. I'll just grab a couple rings of sausage and some white bread and eat it here.
With the monocle,
Eat it here in my lap. Well, dude, I didn't even get to my car, and they'd wrapped it in butcher paper. The butcher paper was already soaked. I mean, it was dripping. So then there was a question of, am I going to leave it in my front seat and drip all over the seat, or am I going to put it in the floorboard and just let it ooze all over the mats? Of course, it ended up on the floorboard. And then I thought, this stuff's just going to keep seeping. I have to eat it now and get all this grease in my stomach before it goes.
Better in my body than on the carpet.
Exactly.
Right. So I lay that butcher paper out across my lap. I got my bread. I'm trying to drive. This is terrible, kids. Don't do this at home. And I pull up one of those sausage rings, and I take the first bite into it. The skin pops, and instantly across my windshield, a spray of grease all over my windshield.
And then he hits the wipers like it's going to help.
I know. I did. I actually did. Oh, I got to get that off. Hit the wipers
the
like, no, it's on the inside. So then I'm going to clean it off my windshield. The only thing I have to wipe with, the grease-soaked butcher paper. I'm trying to not burn myself because the sausage is hot. I'm rubbing grease. I'm just smearing grease all over my windshield. Just flailing around on the road. Anyway, kids, the lesson to be learned is don't try to eat Smitty's sausage on a road trip behind the wheel.
But
please drive clean across Texas.
Yeah. So wait a minute. So the texting and driving is an issue. But
that's right. Yeah,
eating and driving is not an issue. With that story, I think that needs to be right behind it.
I think you know.
I've seen some people juggling food and putting on makeup and all this stuff, and it gets to be kind of an issue.
Scary out there. Another horrible thing to eat behind the wheel: chips and queso.
Todd.
What is that like, stopping at Cabana with your combo? Like, you get the one
Taco
Cabana combo?
It is. Bean and cheese tacos, extra cheese, which work out great. And then delicately setting the queso on the dash, thinking that you can drive slow. I mean, I'm in a Prius. I'm going to go slow anyway. And trying to dip as I go. I've had that.
A trail of queso from the dash over your
from
lap.
From left to right.
I've had the fake cheese sauce spilled on my lap and on the dash and everything else. It just doesn't work.
That's the consequence. You know, and Chipotle is not great behind the wheel either. I love me some Chipotle, but...
Oh, dude. Again, that's probably the second worst thing I've ever eaten behind the wheel.
Logistically, with that foil that you unwrap, that's just asking for trouble.
And then the rice spills out, the beans pop out like they're popping, like they're popcorn popping.
The second that foil wall disintegrates, you got burrito all over your lap. There's no
damn. It's like breaking a dam.
Exactly.
It's the consistently messiest meal I eat. Like, I'm not, you know, there's not stuff on my face, on my shirt, all over the table, but like Chipotle, that's it. It's everywhere. That's just part
of the
territory.
That's so true. That's right. Do not eat Chipotle behind the wheel. Chips and queso are bad. It raises a logistical question, and this is an art here. How do you eat the French fries and the ketchup on the road when you're the only person in the car? Do you just, abandon the ketchup and say, this is too logistically hard, or do you have a method?
There's abandon the ketchup.
So when you're driving with fries and ketchup, how do you do that?
So some restaurants have that little squeeze packet, right? But
that's right.
Some fast food places have that little cup of ketchup.
Like Whataburger?
Yeah, like the Whataburger. And so what you do is you delicately... wedge the fries in your lap.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you can only see this.
Yeah.
Demonstrating. Right. And then you get your little cup of ketchup there, and you balance that on your little knobbly knees, slowly just one at a time, a dip and a bite.
This is our second visual joke on the show.
Your mileage may vary on knobbly knees. We only Kelly's knees are the knobbliest.
It takes a lot to balance.
So
in defense of this, there is an art to this, is that you order a small cup, like just ask for a small cup of water, you slam that really quick, and you take that cup, which fits in your cup holder, put the ketchup in that, fries in between there by your knees, and you drive and dip in that cup.
Oh,
it's in
dude.
The cup holder.
No. Wow. No. Bam! I'm going to go genius on that one. Where has that technique been my whole life? That would work.
No, we all need some dad skill, and dad skill is knee driving.
Yes.
One hand on the ketchup, one hand on the fry, one knee on the wheel, one foot on the gas.
As we all point our fingers at Chet, who is very good at the knee driving.
I do. Yeah. I'm guilty of that. But a lot of the things, open highway, drive. It's, 70 miles an hour. You got nowhere to turn.
That's true. And if you are turning, you got to get good with driving with just like three fingers.
Because the other two are holding. Thumb and
pincher finger.
Oh, no.
Thumb and your first finger, that's holding the ketchup. And then you got to get good with the rest of them,
that meaty part of your palm.
Old hot rods used to have this. Work the palm. Old hot rods used to have this thing. It was this knob that spun, and you would ratchet it onto your wheel.
And all you do is grab that, and
you can turn the whole wheel, and it spun in your hand.
I've seen one of those.
And they've got a cool
slick name, but of course, like. DOT hates it. Department of Transportation hates that stuff. I'm pretty sure they don't make it.
You can't really do 10 and 2 when you got this one knob and the others have French fries and ketchup. So, yeah, I would imagine
you wanted the options. We gave you the options. But we should really talk about, like, best road food ever, like the memorable ones that stand out. Because we get that question all the time.
We do.
What's the best food?
We do.
And we can't talk about all of them because it takes too long. But, the ones that stand out.
You're right. You go last,
Chet, because you always have too much to say. Kelly, what's the, food that stands out we've ever had on the show, on camera or otherwise?
For me, I think it comes down to obviously taste, but also uniqueness. And mine is the Pecan Street Chicken at Pecan Street Brewery in Johnson City.
Because
you're getting, first off, the chicken, so it's like fried chicken breast, delicious, can't go wrong. But then on top, they have like this sweet honey pecan butter with then candied pecans. It's like you're getting your meal and dessert all at once.
It is kind of like they just melted a pecan praline on top of fried chicken.
Oh, it's nice. Like a honey butter chicken biscuit pecan thing, full size, though.
Full size. With the fixins.
I pick the places to eat, and then I eat on camera, and the crew usually eats next. And I'm often kind of anxious, okay, what's the crew going to think about this? Because I've picked this place, I've drug them here, we've filmed this thing. And I remember when Richie, you, and Kelly, you, ate the rest of my pecan chicken because y'all wouldn't even wait to get your own.
It was a
your
real
eyes
moment.
Like rolled
yeah.
back in your head.
That was
head.
Great. No, that was awesome. And then Todd, you got a winner. You got a favorite.
Recently for me, it's been Abbey House, and I loved Abbey House.
And Abilene.
We were there.
And Abilene
for that shoot. And they just had fantastic food. It's wonderful. And I try to be healthy sort of on the road. And
tries.
So
oh, we'll get to that
I
conversation
really
in a minute.
Yeah. So I tried, and the Abbey Burger with their black bean patty with rice was fantastic, absolutely amazing. And then later on, after we had eaten that for lunch, Chet and I came back that evening, and they were doing a beer pairing. They were featuring Lakewood Brewing there, and it was absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, they were like, come back and hang out.
Oh, it was
a beer
awesome.
Pairing, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we raised our pinkies high and ate. And then no, but they were so cool. They were like, y'all just come back and hang out. And then we didn't sit for the meal. They had like maybe five or six courses, but we got to try all the courses. One was like steamed clams and this one
there was some
beer.
Shrimp and the some beer. Shrimp. It was just amazing food and just it was wonderful.
Bad.
Fantastic.
It was fantastic stuff.
See, we've done so much stuff. But one that sticks out as far as like – classic kind of Tex-Mex. We were in Arlington. We went to Mariano's, home of the
frozen
margarita
machine.
Oh, yeah.
Inventor.
I remember that.
And they just kept bringing us food. It was ridiculous.
It was
and
so
it,
much.
It hurt at the end, but still.
But you still ate it.
No one put a gun to my head to keep eating. I did that myself. I brought my own gun, put it in my own head.
He did.
Kept putting the fork in my mouth. But that was fantastic.
I had a really feeling as long as we were sat there, they just kept on rolling the food out.
I think
out.
So.
They
was just threw one of each on the menu.
An insane amount of food.
I mean, even the plate you got was nuts.
Oh, it was like a boat, man. Yeah. It was a seafaring vessel. You could have put that you could have put that to sea, and it would have made it all the way to England.
It was called what? The King of Mexico? What was it called?
Oh, no, I have no idea what it was called.
Wow.
El Comida Grande. I mean, something random like that.
Wow. But that was,
it was huge.
It was fantastic, though.
It was. Very
Chet,
good stuff.
You have a winner?
Oh, man. You know, we have had the privilege of eating just some absolutely amazing meals. There's a few... A small handful that I catch myself daydreaming about from time to time. I mean, literally daydreaming. But one meal in particular probably goes down as one of the best meals I've ever had. Was in the most random of places. It was in Huntsville, Texas.
I remember that.
It was
I was there.
A restaurant in a log cabin called the Homestead on 19th. This chef had worked for the mansion on Turtle Creek in Dallas. So he was, you know, he had earned his stripes at one of the fanciest restaurants in Texas and then had come back to kind of cook more, you know, accessible food for normal people down here in Huntsville in the Piney Woods. And what I got that night was a filet stuffed with cheese. And then I can't even remember. I think it was topped with some potatoes or it was sitting on top of some potatoes. And, I mean, it was the most delicious steak I'd ever had. So tender. Could have eaten it with a spoon. And then the second you got inside, this melted Gouda or something just started oozing out of it. It was insane. And then he brought out that strawberry shortcake or something that tasted
that
like
was.
It was from another world.
Shortbread.
Oh.
Strawberry shortbread cake.
Oh,
manna.
It was unhuman. It was like incredible.
That just sounds incredible. Awesome. Mm-hmm. And I've not eaten lunch yet. I don't know that Richie and Kelly just had Taco Bell.
We just choked down some Taco Bell.
But
we could go again.
Yeah, after all this, whew, man. Ooh.
Yeah.
That's really good. That's road food. And
wow.
It's a lot of it.
Wow.
It's a whole lot of it. So we talked about, you know, what you're going to pack when you leave, where you're going to stop along the way, the good food to eat along the way, the bad food to eat along the way, and then the best stuff we've eaten along the way. Pretty good little mix there for you guys that are looking to know where you're going to eat when you hit that great Texas road. Hey, and now it's time for our next segment of the podcast, Questions from the Backseat.
Are we there yet?
We've heard that one. If you got kids, you've heard that one way too many times.
Way too many times. And that
right,
little
Todd.
Girl that did that is actually at our house right now.
So right, Todd's so, got some questions
so
here.
So the first question comes in from Greg Johnson from Sugarland, Texas. And his
Sugar
question
Texas,
is what is the best chicken fried steak you have had?
That's tough. We've had,
how
many times have we covered chicken fried steak on the show? I want to say maybe four times.
I bet you it's higher than that. Maxine's in Bastrop, Jake and Dorothy's
was awesome.
Mary's was
awesome. And then Babes.
Babes
in the Denton episode.
Yeah, in the Denton is
in Roanoke, yeah.
And then most recently at the Willow Creek Cafe in Mason. You know?
That's right.
So we've eaten a lot of great chicken fried steaks, not to mention the ones we've had personally just bumming around Texas. I eat chicken fried steak all the time. Mm-hmm. If I had to pin it down to – it's hard. It's hard. There's got to be – you know, give me three, I'll do a better job. But if I got to pick one that's super memorable off the top of my head, I'm going to go with the chicken fried steak at Mary's Cafe in Strong, Texas.
Because that was
awesome.
Memorable.
Oh, man, it was memorable. The place is dark and dingy, and, yeah, they smoke there.
Which is something for us Austinite people, that's kind of strange now.
It is. It is very strange to go into a place where they're smoking.
How long has the smoking ban been in Austin? What, 10 years?
Probably.
Maybe more than that?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We haven't had a whole lot of smoking in public places for a very
long time.
It's a total
throwback kind of thing.
Yeah. It is.
Total throwback, and you really only find it in the small towns because most of the big cities have passed their own ordinances. There was a non-smoking room, but it was it was just a non-smoking beam that separated the two. Like, thou shalt not smoke on this side, and then the guy right on the other side smoking, it didn't really make much difference. But that chicken fried steak, they didn't deep fry it. They cooked it on a flat top grill, kind of the old fashioned way, because a lot of old fashioned chicken fried steaks were cooked in a skillet. You know, mm-hmm. You didn't have a big commercial deep fryer with a basket and all of that. You just threw a little bacon grease in a skillet and singed it on both sides, fried it up, and it was served like that. But then I remember the sheer size of this thing
was
ridiculous.
It was a continent.
Continent. It was the Pangea of chicken fried steaks.
It was, because it came on like two plates.
It did. It was lapping off of the plate. And then you got a gravy on the side. It wasn't just like a dipping bowl. It was an entire giant soup bowl of gravy.
Yeah, like you could have had cereal out of that bowl.
Easily.
Yeah, like it was straight up.
Easily had cereal out of the bowl.
So, Mr. Greg Johnson, that's the answer.
I think Mary. Are y'all going to second me on that?
Definitely the most memorable. Babe's had really awesome flavor, too. But as far as like place and food together, Mary's was kind of like an unforgettable spot.
Mary's is Strong's probably like an hour west of Fort Worth. Yeah, and so it's one of those that's worth driving for sure. All right.
All right, so the next question comes from Lauren Graham from Mansfield, Texas. And the question is what are your travel superstitions? Now, in her question, she quoted that when they go and they stop for gas, they always buy lottery tickets. That was theirs. So what are some travel superstitions that we have as a group? As a
we
team?
Always sacrifice a chupacabra every time, don't we?
Oh, well, if we've caught one.
If we've caught one. They're getting harder and harder to catch these days.
Otherwise,
they're
just the
up.
Intern.
By the way, we have a new intern spot available. Just kidding.
Put on this chupacabra suit.
Currently accepting applications.
We ought to take our future interns snipe hunting, but chupacabra hunting.
Oh, yes.
Oh, that'd be so good. All right, hopefully our future interns aren't listening to this, and they'll fall for that
Don't
one.
Listen.
That would be awesome. You know, superstitions for us, the only thing we do consistently, I got to say, is we break the morning with a 1, 2, 3, you know, all hands in, ready, 1, 2, 3, day tripper! Mm-hmm. We do that when we start, and we do that when we finish. The huddle.
Because there's been a couple times where we haven't done that in the morning. We've forgotten. And then halfway through the shoot, wheels have fallen off, and we're going, what has happened? And then someone realizes, we didn't do the huddle
this
morning.
Break. We didn't do
we
it.
We didn't do the break.
The 1, 2, 3 day tripper. You're right. Other than that, I don't know. We don't really have any superstitions. Our shoots are so different every single time that's the only one really I can think of.
Yep. Okay. You know what? We do have one more question that came in at the last minute. I want to spring this on you guys because it seemed kind of appropriate here. So Tyler Weaver from Amarillo asked this question. Do we ever get rained out, and how do we handle that when a show gets rained out, or does the show just go on? And I thought it was appropriate because we're having to do a makeup shoot here pretty soon, next week, because things went a little awry in Port Lavaca recently. So,
Weather always throws you for – can always be a loop, and, you know, it's true. Wait 5 minutes and it changes. So we've canceled shoots for rain, and it turned out that day was great.
Oh, man. Yeah, you're sitting in your office or whatever, looking out the window going, I wish I was day tripping.
Yeah,
and it's beautiful.
We've had, like, strange storms. We were
Fort
Worth.
That's what came to my mind was a dust storm rolled through.
Oh, that was crazy.
Out of nowhere. It was a pretty warm day, but it's one of those electrical/windstorm, dust storm things.
That was crazy.
And it blew through, and you thought it was the apocalypse coming, and so we took shelter in this. It was a
in
great
the stock
exchange.
It was, exchange. Great,
yeah,
it
was in the stock exchange.
It was great. It was a great little museum, and then it passed in 20 minutes, and the day came back out again. So we roll with the punches all the time on the show, but the one time we got rained out, we were in Port Lavaca. doing this great fishing segment, or wanted to do this great fishing segment that morning, and the weather just turned on us hardcore. The storm came in, this fog came in.
It was the fog. It all looked real gross
and it was,
all day.
It was funny because on the way out to go do the fishing segment, we couldn't see anything, and we thought we're in the middle of nowhere, and then coming back is like, whoa, there's houses and places of business and there's people, and it was where was all this?
After we gave up and said, you know what, we're just going to come back the next day, and because nothing would have matched.
Yeah.
All of our shots on the pretty water would have been gross and ugly, and I mean visibility was down to what?
Oh man, it was bad
from your
face.
Yeah,
we were all huddled on going out on that boat to do some bay fishing in these
misty,
little
cold
rain
wind.
Jackets, cold, whipping. I remember you and Lindsay were like huddled down underneath your hoodies. You had your hoodies pulled completely down.
Because my headphones work as little earmuffs. So I'll put my headphones on and then just get my jacket and tuck over.
Yeah. So Tyler, we've had to come back the next day. We've had to push shoots over and everyone's schedule goes out of whack. But
Mostly what we do though is we keep our eye on the weather, and if we're going to have rain, we cancel it and we reschedule it a different day. Now, there was one day I remember when we went down for a makeup day to Kima. Remember? And we were riding down in storms.
Oh my God,
that
yeah.
morning.
It was like
we could have crazy storms, and we thought, this
is
terrible.
We could have put skis on the car.
This is terrible. Like, why are we on the road? And then we went to that waffle place, Seabrook Waffles, and like waited it out for 3 hours, and day ended up turning out pretty well. But we missed a full half day. We just huddled down.
Yeah, that's right. We did do that at the Hoagie Ranch, right?
Yeah. It was same shoot, but I remember we ended up at the waffle place for a while, then we jumped to somewhere else, and then we jumped. And then the day cleared up enough, and we went out on Armand Bayou, and it ended up being fantastic.
Yeah, so that was pretty
cool.
Pretty
Tyler, thanks for the question, man. Love having you jumping in on there for a last-minute question that seemed very timely for where we're at right now.
Right. Very true. All right, and here's another segment of the show. It's the Texas Music Minute with Mr. Richie Lozano.
Oh, right. I don't sing here. We'd like to feature some of the great music we've had on the show before. If you watched the Denton episode where we went racing at Texas Motor Speedway and had some great food at Babe's and did some stuff at UNT.
Yeah.
This is Mr. Red Volkert, and people in Austin know Red. People all over the world know Red, because if you talk about Telecaster Masters, this guy's one of them. He backed up Merle Haggard for years as his guitar player in his band. So if you like that chicken picking stuff, that traditional country music, Red's got it. We loved his energy for some of the stuff in the Denton episode. It's great. Red's won some Grammy Awards. He's an Austin staple, and I mean staple. He's there all the time with his band Hay Bale, either the Continental Club or at the airport welcoming people into Austin. Red Volkert's great. We use him all the time, and we'd love to feature him here on the show because Red's fantastic. Red Volkert, Telecaster Master, one of the greats.
All right, everybody. Well, that concludes episode 3 of the Day Tripper podcast. Again, we want to thank our sponsor, the Highland Lakes of Burnett County. There's the splash I was waiting on. We really couldn't do it without them. They make this show possible. And if you're looking for a little getaway in the hill country, you want a lakefront cabin, you want something remote back in the hills, thehighlandlakes.org has all the information on all the incredible places to stay within Burnett County. So, guys, thanks so much for joining us. I think that was pretty good. Hopefully we gave some guys a lot of really good information about road food out there. Good stuff. Thank you to Magic Room Studios, Mr. Mark Wilson, for setting all of this up.
Mr. Mark.
And everybody, if you like the episodes, please join us for the next one, where we'll be talking about the spookiest places in Texas. Blah. I should have gone more Benson Price with that, shouldn't I?
Shetson Price.
Anyway, that's coming up next. Thank you guys so much for joining us. We'll see y'all on the road. Vaya con Dios, amigos.